I've been really into the weather and climate history of California because there's a lot of evidence coming out of the field. They call it paleoclimatology now, kind of reconstructing what the weather used to look like before we were keeping any records by looking at things like tree ring data and sedimentary records. Really big storms stir up a lot of stuff. It all settles at the same time. You can kind of see it in the geological strata. And there's this kind of theory. It's becoming more of a consensus among people who work in this field that basically the whole period of Anglo settlement in California, the last 150 years or so, have occurred during this period in which California was both ahistorically wet and had an unusually stable climate regime. In other words, like really good conditions for growing crops and, you know, growing up small towns around growing those crops and having kind of predictable water flows. And that if, in fact, you look into the past, you find records of droughts that might last hundreds of years, mega droughts, and floods big enough to move boulders out into the Pacific Ocean. And actually, right on the edge of our written historic record, we have one example of a pretty significant flood that is unlike anything in scope that we have had today. This is 1861 and 1862. It is a storm that spanned 2 years, turned the Central Valley into a lake almost 600 miles long. The Great Flood of 1862. So I wanted to play a clip of an interview I did with Lynn Ingram a couple of years ago. She's a professor emerita now of Earth and Planetary Science and Geography at UC Berkeley, and wrote a book about the work in this field called The West Without Water, What Past Floods, Droughts, and Other Climatic Clues Tell Us About Tomorrow. So let's pick up with the discussion of that flood.
So in 1861, we had a 43-day period that began around Christmas time in 1861 and continued for 43 days. And it was essentially the result of an atmospheric river storm. An atmospheric river is a corridor of moisture coming from the tropics that carries, you know, up to 10 Mississippi rivers worth of water vapor that then falls very rapidly once it hits land and hits topography, like the Coast Ranges and the Sierra Nevada. And so you have just very, very rapid runoff. And so what happened in California is we literally filled the entire Central Valley with 8 to 10 feet of water. And Sacramento was underwater, even Southern Cal, the Mojave Desert, and the region between Santa Barbara and San Diego had many feet of flooding as well.
The person elected governor that year had to get to his inauguration in a boat.
Right, exactly. Leland Stanford, who was the new governor. The story is that he went to his inauguration leaving from his first story of his mansion, and by the time he came back, waters were rising so quickly, he had to enter through the window of the second story of his mansion. And then the legislature had to move to San Francisco after that.
So, I mean, that's the biggest storm event and flood that we have on the written records. How does that compare to what the geologic records tell you has happened in this region?
If you look at sediment cores taken from off the coast of Southern California, we also have them from the Sacramento Valley, they have these flood layers that we can then look at the thickness of these layers to get a general idea of the size of the flood, and we can date them with radiocarbon dating. And what these results show is that every 1 to 2 centuries you had a flood as big as 1861, but every 2 centuries there was actually a flood that was larger than 1861. It's a big concern because what it says is that 1861 wasn't just, you know, some freak event. This is a regularly occurring, you know, feature of the climate, and we should prepare for it. It could happen again.
So this is a period when California's Central Valley is largely empty, right? The state's irrigation infrastructure that made it possible to settle the valley with productive farms has not really been built yet. what would happen if we had that kind of a storm today?
Right, that's a good question, because today we have, you know, the Central Valley is a growing region for, populations are moving there, and there's around 6 million people living there today in cities like Bakersfield, Fresno, Stockton, Modesto, and so on. And, you know, of course, we have a big agricultural, $44 billion a year agricultural industry as well. So, you know, maybe flooding the crops isn't going to be a disaster, but 6 million people is a disaster. So the U.S. Geological Survey is actually working on ways of trying to implement some kind of warning system, or, you know, similar to what we have with earthquakes. We want to make people aware of the risks and perhaps be able to warn people, and so they know they're prepared, they know what to do if one of these things is coming.
Why does California's climate run to such extremes? Why would one region be so prone to droughts and to extreme floods at the same time?
We're completely at the mercy of the Pacific Ocean and the circulation in the surface waters of the Pacific Ocean. So our moisture comes from the Pacific Ocean, and the temperatures in the Pacific vary, you know, on timescales of 6 months to a couple years with El Nino. So those are the conditions occurring at the tropics. And then there's conditions in the North Pacific that are affecting our climate over decades. So the what's called the Pacific Decadal Oscillation that controls our climate. And so similar to the El Nino, when we have colder waters offshore is when it tends to be drier here in California. And that's what we've been having for the last decade or so. We've been in a colder phase of the Pacific Decadal Oscillation.
But we've had El Ninos and La Ninas, and they have not produced biblical floods in California or century-long droughts, at least as long as we've been writing histories.
Right. So that's the whole thing. That's why we really need this longer-term climate history of California, because we're only getting a pretty short kind of time span when we look just back in the last century. If we look back a few thousand years, we see these longer term cycles. And it seems like these, like the Pacific Decadal Oscillation and even the El Nino, can lock into a phase that lasts longer than just those shorter term periods. Then there's also sunspot cycles, and there's like a 200-year sunspot cycle that has been correlated with those mega floods.
So up until now, we have been talking about our current climate regime, the Holocene. This is a period of roughly 10,000 years when, as far as you paleoclimatologists can tell us, the Earth's climate has been remarkably, aberrantly stable. What does it look like to actually change climate regimes?
We're now doing this big experiment where we're adding these greenhouse gases. The planet is warming. And the models that are showing that this is a region that's going to dry. Other places will get wetter. And we're also going to change our regime in terms of our snowpack, because when it's warmer, more precipitation falls as rain than snow in the winter. And we also see earlier snowmelt. California is one of the only states that has literally no precipitation during summer months. And so we really rely on that snowpack to provide water not just to us, but to the environment.
The history of the 20th century in California is basically the history of people engineering the state's water, putting levees in flood areas, damming rivers, creating reservoirs, aqueducts to move water large distances across the state. Can we engineer our way out of a drier climate regime?
You know, you clearly need to have some precipitation, you know, and that's the problem is, you know, what we could do is start banking more water during the wetter periods in underground aquifers, and having more recycling of wastewater and using gray water more, you know, more water efficient appliances and redoing our landscaping. And also the whole agricultural industry needs to really be more water efficient. So there is a lot of opportunity to kind of become much more water efficient. And a lot of that, I guess, would be using engineering. But in general, I just think that we shouldn't be continuing to grow. You know, our population is pretty much at the brink of, you know, we're using all the available surface water and we're pumping groundwater on top of that. And groundwater takes much longer to recharge. We'd have to really start some major conservation and recycling efforts and get that started now, not wait till we're in the depths of the drought.
All right. Lynn Ingram, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Lynn Ingram is a professor of Earth and Planetary Science and Geography at UC Berkeley. She's co-author of the new book, The West Without Water, What Past Floods, Droughts, and Other Climactic Clues Tell Us About Tomorrow. And again, that is an interview we taped a few years ago, 2014 looks like, so 5 years ago. Lynn Ingram is now a retired professor of Earth and Planetary Science and Geography at UC Berkeley.